We now want to begin lecture 4 concerning the Blessed Holy Spirit, and we are going to look in particular in this lecture concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And first of all, we want to consider the title that Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit. And he gave this title of Comforter. And he said to his disciples, you know, it's necessary that I leave you, but I will pray, and the Father shall send unto you another Comforter. I want to emphasize another Comforter, because in a very real sense, God is the God of all comfort, God the Father. As a father comforts his children, so he comforts us. The Lord Jesus Christ, we know, he comforts. But this peculiar title and virtue, if I could say that, is given also to the Holy Spirit. And we want to consider the title in Greek because it's Parakletos, and it helps us understand the meaning of this word Comforter from an English standpoint. And also the fact that living in the time of the Roman Empire, this word had a particular and peculiar meaning. And in studying it, I think we shall indeed receive a lot of benefit and a lot of encouragement. Well, the word Parakletos was used in the Roman army for a soldier of rank who marched alongside the Roman column. Now you must consider in those days that transporting an army along those Roman roads, and those Roman roads were not tarmacked as ours are, but they were somewhat dusty. They were not what we might call smooth. And they were hard going, but certainly a vast improvement on anything that had been given before those times. But here are these columns marching along these roads. And then as they would get to their destination, and a lot of these marches had to be forced marches, where they had to get to a place on a certain given time to do battle, they would leave these roads and they would cross over arduous tracks, and some portions without tracks at all. And they would have to keep their step, because the Roman soldier, the Roman army, lived through discipline, as armies do today too. And so these soldiers, who would be carrying all their equipment, would have to march for many hours, sometimes over easier ground and sometimes over hard ground. But the all-important thing was this, that they arrived at their destination with their spirits buoyed and ready to fight. Well, for that reason, there was this soldier of a certain rank who was called a Parakletos, who walked alongside the column. His specific duty was to ensure that the soldiers arrived in good mettle, in high spirits, in confidence, when they came to the battlefield. And so, what did he do? Well, he would sing marching songs. And you know, there's nothing like singing that buoys up our spirit. But also, he would recite past victories to encourage the troops. And then he would give certain words from poets and the like, that would swell the hearts of the soldiers with pride. And they would, if I could say this, straighten their shoulders. Their eyes would become alight. And as they sang these songs, their spirits would be buoyed and they would just be ready to meet the enemy. Well, the Roman army felt it so necessary that those parakletos be alongside those troops. For they recognized without them that the army could well be dismayed, tired, daunted, perhaps filled with fears and the like, and that they would be in no condition to meet the enemy. So the parakletos was a highly prized rank and duty. Now, Jesus gives this title to the Holy Spirit. And there we have a picture of the church as the army of God marching towards the spiritual battles that we have to face. But not alone. And walking alongside of us, there is the blessed Holy Spirit who gives us words, puts a song in our heart, and we start to sing. And that song lifts us, birthed by the Holy Spirit. And so, here is a very important ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Oh yes, He consoles. He comforts us. You know, when we feel downhearted or we've gone through times of perhaps depression and heartache and sorrow, yes, He's there. And He pours in the oil and the wine. But this other aspect we must never forget. He prepares us for battle. We are called to be victorious. You know, the Roman armies never really considered that they would be defeated. They had victory after victory. All had fled before the army of Rome. And they had enlarged their boundaries everywhere. To the north, into Germany. To the south, into Africa. To the east, right unto Persia. And to the west, the glorious land of England. Well, there we were. You know, they were looked upon as being invincible. That's the same picture that the Lord gives concerning His church. An army with banners riding from victory to victory. And it is the work and blessing of the Holy Spirit to give us that sense in our hearts. Oh yes, I have to face the enemy. But I don't face him alone. And God intends that I be victorious. And the Holy Spirit buoys me up with that, as it were, encouragement, joyous sentiments within my heart. My step is lightened as I go towards the enemy. That's a very important ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well then, also, He is called the Teacher. The Lord said concerning the Holy Spirit, He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. All things. He is a teacher. You know, as we are called upon to be teachers to the church, teachers in our congregation, we are so dependent upon the Holy Spirit to first teach us rightly and help us rightly divide the Word of God. Because there's no other book in the whole world that is comparable to the Bible. It is filled with truths that will set us free from our bondages, truths that indeed will transform us, and truths that will take us from earth to heaven above. But this Bible cannot be understood by the human mind. The human mind is at enmity for the things of God. The world thinks so differently from God that God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours." Well, we need a teacher. We need an anointing that will open up this precious word to us, so that we who are responsible to be teachers of others can indeed rightly divide that word and indeed give the correct interpretation. Well, how do we do it? It is to turn to our friend, the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, for he will teach you all things, all things. Isn't that wonderful? All things. And you know, being a teacher, it's very interesting that he has the characteristic of a teacher that is so imperative. You know, in 1 Corinthians, you know, the Apostle Paul says, or writes in chapter 2 and verses 9 to 10, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." By his Spirit. So God has revealed these things, the Father has revealed them to the Holy Spirit, who in turn, we're told, searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. As one attribute of a teacher that is not commonly understood, that a teacher can never, but never, stop studying. He cannot afford to plateau. Because, as the prophet Daniel said, that in the last days knowledge shall increase. And we see that on every hand. You know, when I went to school, there's very little knowledge compared to what has been revealed and released by God today. There have been quantum leaps. But even when I was young, and I was in research, every week we had to go to the university for studies, and even those who were over us and had their doctorates in science and so forth, they were constantly going to university to study some new aspect of their science. Because it was realized that there are quantum leaps in science. And unless we keep abreast of new discoveries, we're going to be left behind. And so the Holy Spirit himself has that same, shall I say, virtue, whereby he is constantly seeking out the deep things of God. You know, it's so interesting that we never really attain, can never really attain, for God is so vast. And the Apostle Paul speaks about in the ages to come, he will show forth his grace towards us. And we will constantly, throughout eternity, be growing in the grace and knowledge of God. But upon this earth, to keep up with the things of God and understand the things that are happening in this earth, we have constantly to study the Word of God and to seek God. And who is our teacher? The Holy Spirit, who himself is constantly seeking out the wonderful things of God to reveal them to us. Well, there's three aspects of a teacher, you see. He searches, he reveals and teaches, and he reiterates and instills. I'd like to mention this. You know, this thought, he searches. A teacher must constantly search. The Holy Spirit constantly search. And then what is the purpose of researching? You know, it's not to keep the knowledge to ourselves. A teacher never wants to keep the knowledge to himself. He always wants to impart it unto others so that they themselves are lifted higher up the ladder of truth. And teach. You know, it's no good just passing out knowledge. You have to give it in such a way that the person can assimilate it. Therefore, you have to know your students very well. And then, one thing about knowledge, if I could say this, and teaching, is governed by those three letters, IRA, impression. A teacher has to make an impression so that a student grasps. And then has to repeat. You have to repeat. And then you have to associate truth with something that is important to the person. The Holy Spirit will do that constantly. And we want to learn all we can from this blessed teacher of God. Well, the third thing concerning the Holy Spirit is he's called the Spirit of Truth. And he will guide us into all truth. Now, basically on this planet, we have two things, truth and error. Truth and error. And I said before, Pontius Pilate said, quo vadis? You know, what is truth? Because the Roman Empire at that time was filled with all kinds of superstitions, all kinds of teachings that really came from other sources than the source of God. You know, basically there are three sources of truth. Could I say that? No, three sources of instruction might be better. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it can be the human spirit. But the human spirit can be oh so wrong. And then we're told there are doctrines of demons. Now, we need to realize this, that we want to be on the pathway of truth in this life that we have been given. So that knowing the truth will be set free. And that truth will be like the pathway of righteousness, shining more brightly unto the perfect day. And so, walking in that pathway of truth, by the grace of God, we shall go into eternity. And so it is so important that we have this thought concerning the Holy Spirit. He is a Spirit of truth. And we're told, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. Isn't that a glorious thing? You know, television can show you the past. It can show you that which is actually happening, but it cannot show you the future. The Holy Spirit can show you the past, present, and future. And that is one of the purposes of him as the Spirit of Truth, that he will show us not only the past, which is important, we need to know the past, because you learn from history, you learn from the feats of the saints of old. I mean, a lot of this word is history. It's very important to know the past, but also part of this word talks of the future. And it's so important in the days in which we are living to know what is happening from a biblical perspective, but also to know the Holy Spirit who will show you things to come. And those things to come are not only here, if I could say this, amongst the nations, but also in your personal life. You know, our life has been preordained by God. And God has had a plan before the foundation of the world for each one of our lives. And it's the Holy Spirit alone. You know, it's not in man to direct his ways. We cannot work it out. God has not given us that faculty. But the Holy Spirit knows God's plan for our lives, and he knows the future, and he can show us what God's plan for our lives is. It's so exciting to know, even when young, you know, what God has purpose for our lives. One of the things God showed me, Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was very young that God's purposes for my life would be more towards the end of my life than they were before. And I'm experiencing that now. All right. Now then, and in revealing truth, of course, the Holy Spirit is going to glorify Christ, who is the very embodiment of truth. Now then, he is the anointing. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, the beloved apostle says this. He says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things in his truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." So therefore, the Holy Spirit is spoken of as an unction or an anointing, by the which also we are guided and know the truth. And so, it is important that as we study these attributes of the Holy Spirit, that we don't just study them academically, but they become living reality to us, and that we become those who cry out, "Oh Holy Spirit, come to me. Oh Holy Spirit, anoint me. Oh Holy Spirit, fill me. Oh Holy Spirit, lead and guide me into all truth." You see, it's no good knowing a lot of facts if you don't implement them in your life. And so, the purpose of these lectures is just to give you a hunger and thirst to know the person of the Holy Spirit who will be your comforter, leader, and guider through life. And then, you see, the Holy Spirit, we're told, is the author of the Scriptures. We're told that they were written upon, or written, if I can say this, by men of old, who were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. So, we see the Bible, it's written by men. Written by men. But as you examine this wonderful book, you will find that no human mind could have conceived it. How did men write this? Well, in one passage we're told how one of the prophets wrote his prophecy, the prophet Jeremiah. And the prophet Jeremiah, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, spoke forth the words, and he had his secretary by his side, Baruch, who took the words down. And so that's what it means. Men of old, moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote the Scriptures. And then another aspect of the Holy Spirit is this. He is a reprover. He is a reprover. He is a reprover. He will reprove us of sin. That conviction we feel when we say something or do something wrong is the action of the Holy Spirit in our heart. We feel, "Oh, that's wrong. What has convicted us?" It is not what is, it is who is. Who has? And he is the reprover. And he will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of sin. And so that conviction, he will reprove the world of sin, of unbelief. And so when you feel that conviction, you know the Holy Spirit's at work with you. He is also called an intercessor. You know, we pray, we often don't know how to pray. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27, "that likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray, but for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And the Holy Spirit is one who helps us in prayer. He leads us in prayer. He intercedes through us. And he gives us the thoughts of God so that we might know how to pray and what to pray for. It is so important. Ask and ye shall receive. Well, we don't want to ask for the wrong things, do we? So Holy Spirit will help us know and understand. And also another blessed aspect of the Holy Spirit is that he reveals and sets us in our callings. And in Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 onwards, it was the Holy Spirit who ordered the apostles, the prophets and teachers in the early church to set aside Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to do. It is the Holy Spirit that puts us in our calling. And also, he is the one who initiates, if I could say this, the blessed work of salvation. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said that a man must be born again. He said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And we are born again by the Spirit of God. And so it is to ask Jesus, oh Lord, come into my heart, but or may the Holy Spirit give me that blessed experience of the new birth. And he's also the one who sanctifies us. And he's also the one who helps us worship God in spirit and in truth. And so again, as we come to the end of this fourth lecture, may I encourage you to come to know the blessed third member of the Trinity in a very living and vital way. For he is your comforter, and he is the one that will walk with you through life to fulfill God's purposes for you. Thank you, and God bless you.
This series has been presented by Zion Fellowship of Waverly, New York. The teachings you just heard by Dr. Bailey are based on his book, The Comforter, which is available in both English and Spanish. To those of you who are interested in becoming a partner with us, or in studying more on the Holy Spirit, or to receive a video of today's teachings, you may contact us at the number shown on your screen. Remember today that God loves you and desires to bless you. May God grant and pour out to you the blessed gift of His Spirit. God bless you.